Once again to be with you for another hour of fun and adventure. And how do I know it's going to be a fun and adventure? Well, I set the intention. I prayed, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to naturally, easily experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so that we can enjoy a global loving community. So we're headed with a gyroscope of fun to have an adventure today with someone that is going to bring us amazing, amazing information. We've been wondering and hearing about these upcoming changes, times of cataclysmic, possibly, catastrophes, who knows, maybe yes, maybe no. Well, our wonderful guest today, David Lewis, has got some huge insights to share. And he's a mystic, spiritual teacher, composer, and author for the Aquarian Age. David was raised Catholic and embraced the concepts of karma and reincarnation when he was just 14 after reading another Catholic's writing, Edgar Cayce's The Sleeping Prophet. For the next three decades, David studied the world's major religious traditions, albeit more through a mystic, esoteric lens. And for 22 of those years, he lived and worked in an international, intentional, spiritual community. He married in 1986 and has three children, ages 17, 14, and 21. In 1994, he opened his own art gallery, a highly successful business that he personally managed and then sold in 2005. In the spring of 2004, David had a mystical awakening and began receiving regular telepathic communications from enlightened spiritual beings known as Ascended Masters. And he maintains that he is not the messenger for the Ascended Masters, but rather a messenger, not the messenger, but a messenger affirming that all of us can and should develop our own spiritual faculties as well. Early in 2005, with seven others, David founded a spiritual group known as the Hearts Center. This is a non-profit organization dedicated to helping people everywhere connect with and nurture their own divine potential. And it has grown in the last 3 years into a worldwide movement with local centers in two dozen cities in the United States, Canada, Latin America, and Europe. Wow! The Hearts Center maintains a website. You want to remember this, www.thehartscenter.org. We're open 1,100 heart streams, or what are called inspired discourses from the Ascended Masters that David has received. They are published in audio, print, and recently in video format as well. David coined the term heart streaming and co-authored a chapter on the subject for the anthology Healing the Heart of the World. Ugh. Take a deep breath with that. Yes. And published in 2007 by Elite Books. And David regularly conducts prayer and meditation services and teaches during free internet broadcasts on the Heart Center website. He He's also written and published extensively over the last 3 years. Among his published works are a collection of more than 150 devotional prayers, songs, mantras, guided meditations, and instructions on spiritual science behind sun gazing, which I've started doing, and we'll get into this, I hope. So since 2005, David has traveled extensively to 16 countries while leading pilgrimages to Mexico, South America, Egypt, Europe, and the Far East, and conducting nearly 40 seminars and conferences in the United States, Canada, and Europe. Does this guy get around or what, folks? Well, dear listeners, let's welcome our friend David Lewis. David, hello.
Hi, thanks for joining. Thanks for providing me this opportunity to speak to your guest tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. There was just a thing about Edgar Cayce and some of his predictions on the History Channel, and now the next day, here I am connecting with you, who is inspired by Edgar Cayce, and so we got to figure out some of this stuff. 2012 is coming up, and with all these predictions of a cataclysm that haven't come true, why should we take this one seriously?
Well, I think that we have mitigated a lot of the predictions because of prayer, meditation, and our intention, as you mentioned at the very beginning. When we collectively focus the light from our source into situations on the earth, we can dynamically change what is occurring in a profound way, and this is a blessing to all humanity. And as more and more people awaken to the inner reality of who they are and reconnect with their source by whatever name you want to call it, your higher self, your Buddha nature, the inner Christ, inner man of the heart, there is a dynamic that occurs because of this collective awakening. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it with Eckhart Tolle in his book, you know, A New Earth, and the instruction on that going out to millions of people with Oprah Winfrey. We're seeing it in many quarters, in many cultures, through many voices that are primarily saying the same thing. It's time for people to awaken. Now, the ascended masters are like our elder brothers and sisters who have passed their initiations, their tests, have graduated from Earth's schoolroom, and by the grace of God and in true humility, I, you know, have worked with them for many years, but, you know, as you mentioned, I had this mystical experience 4 years ago and have been given the opportunity to be kind of an amanuensis and to share these teachings in a more profound way than I could ever dream of, and that's what I'd like to share a little bit with the listeners tonight.
Ah, fantastic. Yes, please.
Well, you know, the masters don't typically give dates or years as something through prediction that such and such is going to happen. They lay out a general warning at times, and of course we know the 2012 is based on what some call the end of the Mayan calendar, although I think it's the end of a cycle within a time frame within the Mayan calendar. But I think 2012 has become an analogy for something deeper within humanity, that it is time for people to understand nature, to understand the inner truths that we all have within us, to quicken to that divine suchness within us. And if people are being given a choice to either really reconnect and become the totality of who they are through acceptance, through a certain surrender of the lesser self or the human ego, and embrace the godhood within all of us, or if they remain in kind of an unconscious state, then we're going to see the continuing of the problems we have with war and famine and, you know, whatever may occur. So the ascended masters teach us the way through presence, through focus, and coming together in communities, intentional communities, to really pray and work together toward the purposes of really saving this planet.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Oh, this is important. we're seeing different things. You're talking about this consciousness. David Hawkins, in his book Power versus Force, put a chart together of levels of consciousness and supporting people to raise their vibration or their consciousness level, because when that happens, in his theories, then we can operate on different some of the higher spiritual principles that may not be available to us if we're stressed out to the max, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, we've all heard now the quote of the great scientist, based on his name now, Albert
Einstein.
Einstein, you know,
yeah.
That we can't solve the problems at the level by which they were created. We have to go into a higher level of consciousness to deal with these systemic and world problems. And unless we do that, we can't really grasp the entire situation. We can't move into a higher field from which, by tuning into the divine world, which vibrates all around us and through us, we have access to this higher wisdom and higher knowledge. And so one of the keys that you mentioned, heart streaming, is an opportunity for us to not do it through brainstorming, you know. But
I've had a few of those storms in my brain.
Right. But heart streaming, it's a great concept because the heart is intelligent. And, you know, there's an organization called HeartMath in California, and they actually can measure the frequencies and the electromagnetic auric emanation and the frequencies of the heart, and it's more powerful than the brain. And as we develop our emotional intelligence, not just our mental constructs and all that, as we increase in our love, in the divine feelings that can flow through us, and we connect with others, together we can co-create with God this beautiful new world of consciousness. And heart streaming is great because it moves us into presence through our heart, the most important of our seven major chakras, and it's the central chakra. And as we master our emotions in our hearts, we really do reconnect with the heart of God, the divine world, and have access to this higher wisdom.
Wow. And so that's why you're encouraging everyone not just to listen to what you've got to say, but to realize that you've blazed a trail for others to follow so that we can all connect to that same source.
Yeah, and all true teachers throughout history have redirected people to the within, to the God within them. I mean, Jesus said, you know, seek not the kingdom outside, but, you know, look within to find the consciousness of God, the kingdom of God, which is really the consciousness of God. And if we're always looking outside of ourselves to another, to even a guru or some, you know, mystic teacher, whoever it is, but we're not really connecting with the flame within our hearts and the divine energies of the spirit that we each have access to, then we're kind of losing part of the thing. So any true teacher doesn't want to get in the way. They it's not about them. It's not about glorifying the person Jesus. It's about listening to the message that he brought to the whole world to follow his example and to become the Christos like him, become that Christ. Jesus was the man. The Christ was like his office, his anointing. And I believe that all of us can have a certain anointing of the Spirit by whatever you want to call it. It's not really about religion. It's about true spirituality or inner self-realization. So when we reconnect...
So you might be... would you go so far as to have us think that before there were religions, there was actual spirituality?
Well, of course.
Sorry.
I think mankind kind of creates these isms to codify the teaching, and then unfortunately a lot of it becomes corrupted in subsequent generations, and sometimes we lose the very essence and the core of the original message of the Messiah, the prophet, the teacher that God sent to the earth for, you know, many cultures, whether it's
mm-hmm.
Gautama Buddha or Padmasambhava, whether it was Krishna, you know, it's all really, you know, by any other name, they are all still divine roses who came to Earth to bring love and a teaching and a way to mankind. And if we get away from judging and saying, I have the only way or the best way, and realize that we all have that way within us if we decide to connect with it. And we can be a Sufi mystic and have this access to the same inner light. We can be a Buddhist and meditate the way they do and have access to that. We can be a mystic Christian and love the Christ consciousness within everyone. We can be nothing, or we could be a Native American who reconnects with Mother Earth and nature and the Great Spirit. So by whatever religion or no religion, the essence and the core of the truths within the mystical elements of all true religions really is the same.
That's, I've heard those people say, all paths, all spiritual paths lead to the same God.
Absolutely. And you know, instead of throwing rocks at each other as we're going up the mountain, you know, on different pathways, if we keep ascending, whatever by whatever route, and we keep loving God and worshiping the One by whatever name, we'll make it. You know, we can't leave off. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to do whatever spiritual exercises work for us individually, whether it's some people are more into meditation, some into deep contemplation, some into deep prayer, some into giving, you know, singing or doing mantras or whatever, living in presence to me and being very present and aware and conscious while doing any or all of these is the key. And by, like you said at the beginning, setting your intention. When you do that, there's a focus and a light energy, a field of awareness that grows around you. And within that field of divine love, wisdom, and power, then you have access to all of the elements of the divine world that come to bear in your life to move you into this higher consciousness.
Wow. And, like David, I'm guessing, because I haven't had a chance to visit extensively, but when we go to that website that was mentioned, www.theheartscenter.org, we'd be able to connect to some of these heart streams and use these to add some inspiration to our lives, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. There have been a lot of, there's some beautiful prayers. Some of the prayers are, you know, they're rhythmic. They're kind of like mantric, Western mantras with rhythm, and they have a beat, and they have rhyming. And when you have 20 or 100 or 300 or 500 people in a room, all giving them at the same time with the same speed, and sometimes you start very slow, and you, through great devotion, you visualize light rays coming through your chakras, from your chakras, from your divine source through your chakras, and radiating out to the world. And we have many sessions where we, you know, pray for the Middle East, or we pray for healing, or we pray for, you know, the protection of the nature spirits when there's potential earthquakes or something, and we pray for, you know, like we worked on the hurricanes when they were coming, and we actually visualized ourselves over the top of the hurricane and untwisting the winds, reversing the winds, and, you know, we are powerful spiritual beings, and we have to realize that. We're having a human experience, but the God in us is the doer, not the human ego or the self, the lower nature. And we can do miracles. I mean, Jesus said it, and the masters have told us this. And if we start believing it and focusing and working together, we can change this world around. We can have peace, but it's going to take a lot more people waking up. And yes, on the website, there's not only the prayers that we give, there are many, many dictated discourses that are, it's like a stream of consciousness that flows through the master and then through me and out to the world, to those present and those who listen and those who may listen or watch later. And a few of them are on Google Video, and the video ones, but there's hundreds of audio messages, and then over 1,100 total. Some are not all transcribed, but
well, sure. Now I'm on your website, and I know others are going to be going there. When we get there, if we wanted to tune into a positive message, where would we go?
Okay, you can go to two different places. One is, I don't have the website right in front of me, but you can go to, what are the bars at the top?
Well, there's Welcome, Path, Sanctuary, Gallery, Library, Store, Events, Contact, Support.
Yeah, either Sanctuary or Library. Now, the Library are those that have been kind of recorded already, and then you can click on the Library and then go down, and it'll say Heart Streams.
Okay.
And then you can click on that, and then you can see a list. You can do a search by date, see what the most recent ones are, and ones that have been delivered since the end of 2004. And typically I receive a message every day, and it's anywhere from 10 minutes to 25, 30 minutes. And they're beautiful. They're very inspirational. You feel the energy of the light radiance, or what I call radiation from the Ascended Masters, because just as important as the message that they convey through the words is the electronic rush and the spiritual fire that comes through that like raises consciousness, and people feel it. It's like, we all know that feeling of a rush that we get when we are connected, when we have an aha experience. And this is what happens every time. And people in the room, especially where it's being given, feel it tremendously. And then those who are listening can also feel it. But this radiance of light is the power of the spirit that comes through. And this is not psychic channeling. This is not mediumship. I am fully conscious. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a grace. It's not something that I ever expected. But the prophets in the Old Testament would speak, and it would say, the word of the Lord came unto me and said, and then whatever they said after that was that divine inspiration that oftentimes came from an angel, a higher cosmic being or a master, or what they called the Lord. And then that dictated message could either be prophecy, or it could be a warning, or it could be simply something to edify people. And the same thing happens to me. There's usually not a prediction, this will happen on this date, but it's like an energy field of blessing, and also sometimes they comment on what's going on in the world and what we need to pray on, or what we need to change within ourselves, what we need to work on our inner psychology to get rid of the blocks in our subconscious that are holding us back from realizing our potential. And we use the violet light tremendously, and a lot of mystics now see
violet light.
Violet.
Oh, violet.
Yeah, violet.
Okay, there. I was sneaking in some violence here. Okay.
No. Violet light. you've heard of the indigo children.
Yes.
And these children are tremendous beings who have this incredible energy field in their auras, and those whose inner vision is open see who these indigo children are. Well, we're coming into the seventh age of Aquarius. It's the seventh age. Is the violet ray is the seventh ray. And if you look at the rainbow, the seventh color is violet, the last one. Roy G. Biv, B-I-V, blue, indigo, violet. So
sure.
The indigo and the violet are very close. And these children are coming who have great awareness, and they have great self-mastery. They have inner gifts, sometimes that blow people away, that they can read minds, or they see the future, or whatever. And the violet light is a frequency of energy that transmutes karma. And this is a key for the Aquarian Age, for us right now, because we can talk about being in presence. We can talk about prayer. But when you add the dynamic of this violet energy and frequency, it's like an accelerant. It's been called the cosmic eraser.
And cosmic eraser?
The cosmic eraser.
Wow.
It can erase karma.
Okay, because this is huge. Who hasn't, maybe a few, but most of us in our lifetimes have oopsed, made mistakes, just been in what I call full idiot mode, and done some stuff that was like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking and why? And and knowing that, geez, that creates some karmic consequences.
We have to first forgive ourselves for our missteps, because we're our own worst enemies most of the time. We have to just pick ourselves up, forgive ourselves, and move on. But then we can, you know, ask for forgiveness for others if we've made a mistake. It's usually just unconsciousness at a time. You know, it's not, sometimes with many people, it's not even intentional. It may be ignorant. It may not be malicious, in other words. It's like you're trying to do something bad or evil, because I hear your voice. I feel the intention in your heart. I feel that you would never consciously try to hurt anyone. Well, many people are the same way. They don't want to eat animals. They don't want to, you know, kill animals for food and for fur and all that stuff. And they're more, you know, simple, heart-centered, meek, humble people. But even the best of us sometimes have patterns from deep in the subconscious, even from past lives, that we have to work through. And the violet light is like an impersonal blessing and grace that when we invoke it through a mantra like, I am a being of violet fire, I am the mercy God desires, we can extend mercy or forgiveness or healing to others through this action of the violet energy. We can visualize the violet light going into a situation, surrounding it, and transmuting the what we call the cause-effect record and memory. So we not only forgive, we forget permanently, and it's gone. It's dissipated. It is no more. It vanishes. And we can be joyous and move on.
Okay. Wow. That's wonderful. So that a person can use this, and there's some things that they can reference on your website, the hearts, like plural, HEARTS center.org, to learn about invoking this violet light.
We have just put up on our website, for those who would like to sign in and just like register, you just put your name and, you know, you choose your own password and stuff like that. There's a free ebook now on the violet light, and you know, it's free to everyone. You just kind of register, and you can get the either daily or weekly little news flashes that we send out that are like an encapsulation of whatever the message was from that day that I usually get in the morning. We come together in Montana from 6 to 8:30 in the morning, mountain time, every morning, and we pray, and we work, we meditate, we sing, we work on a particular thing for the planet and for ourselves. And then there's usually a message, what we call heart's dreams, like I said, for 10 to 20, 25, 30 minutes. And these are recorded, and then they're posted later. And then an encapsulation of them is usually put on the front page of our webpage. But then we also can email it out to people if they want. And not everybody wants to get an email every day, but some people do. So you can get it weekly or daily. And it's really great. It's like one of the banner on our new site, which is coming out shortly, is has to do with a message from the masters every day. It's commune with the masters daily, and this is what happens. And you know, the masters are wonderful. Saint Germain is one of the key. Now, many people have heard of Saint Germain. He's an incredible master. He was the one who brought forth the knowledge of the violet light and the violet flame, the violet fire, in the late 1920s through Godfrey Ray King, and you may have heard of the IM movement. There have been other movements sponsored by the Ascended Masters.
Okay.
Theosophy in 1875 was begun. Madame Blavatsky had a lot of higher truth, and there was the IM movement. There's the Agni Yoga Society, the teachings through that dispensation was beautiful, absolutely fantastic. There's been the Summit Lighthouse, the Bridge to Freedom before the Summit Lighthouse, and now I believe the Hearts Center movement is carrying on in the same tradition of the Ascended Masters, where they have an embodied amanuensis or messenger who can be a voice or a mouthpiece for current progressive revelation. And that's what's beautiful about it, because God is continuing to communicate with us today. through not through just one, but through a number. And you have to, at times, beware of some that claim to be, you know, the master speaking by vibration. You know by vibration. You know by the radiance of the heart and the electronic fire and spiritual energy that comes to you through their discourses. If it's psychic and the only intent is to glorify the ego, then the masters don't use those people. So
I'm just curious, David.
Yeah.
From the original version of that movie, The Secret, in there, as Esther Hicks was talking at a simplistic level of two groups of emotions. The one where we feel good, and that can be a bunch of different types of emotions, and then ones that she grouped as where we don't feel so good, we feel bad, whatever, it's the anger, resentment, you know, hatred, confusion versus the feeling good, love, compassion, you know, warmth, celebration. And because you were talking about people being exposed to all kinds of messages, and I was kind of looking for one of the ways to help hone in on, because we may not have refined our intuitive nature as much as you have. We know we can with practice, but how about, is there any shortcuts? Like if we're listening to someone and you know, and we feel good and peaceful versus if we listen to someone and maybe we're whatever agitated. Can you help give some advice on how we can be guided?
That's good. Well, I think we call for the discernment of spirits through the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is one thing that even fundamentalist Christians are aware of, that there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is the discernment of spirits. So you can actually have a voice that speaks through someone, through a channeling or a mediumship, that sounds beautiful. And it may actually, you may feel at some level a tingling in your chakras and your up and down your spine. But is it really the highest level of spiritual energy? You have to have discernment of spirits. So we have a practice where, you know, people can call to Archangel Michael to reveal the truth as to whether someone is really a sponsored and an authentic voice for the Ascended Masters, or whether they're simply a charlatan on the astral plane who is, you know, purporting to be the Master when it's really someone in disguise who's trying to kind of get the light of the people that he's speaking to through their attention. So I think that you know by an inner vibration, it's like your conscience, if you really are listening and you are trying to be intuitive, you sense it. It's like the first time you meet someone, you have a gut reaction, where if you listen to your higher nature, you know that, oh, well, I better avoid this person, or, yes, this is a heart friend, someone who, you know, a kindred spirit that I immediately resonate with, and I feel that they're true and they're real and they're loving and they're never going to hurt me. So it, you know, what happens is through greater spiritual disciplines, we purify our chakras and the light in our auras. We become more sensitive, and as we continue to meditate through the sensitivity of our chakras, we will know. And it's something that, you know, it can take time for people to really get to that point of self-mastery where they can feel, or people who have inner vision see what's really going on, because some people avoid people if they see in their auras jagged energies or blackness or, you know, a dark energy or kind of a murky aura, whereas someone who has a crystal clear, radiant white energy or a rainbow-colored auras, they know that this person is for real. So I think we're all gaining in the sensitivity, and we all have these inner gifts. They just have to be developed by love, and ultimately we know that love is the key. It's not about mental mastership and imagining that we can do this and that. It's really about love, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, that's important to connect to that love energy within us And I know from when I'm in that place, if I've got a lot of stuff swirling around, and what do I do with this, and feeling some overwhelm and confusion, trying to make decisions from that place, boy, I'm as likely to make the right choice as the wrong choice. It's more of a gamble. But when I take time, meditate, to do some gazing at the sun, take in that universal energy, and sing or just feel a great joy and gratitude within me, all of a sudden I can sort through problems and issues from a much more resourceful place.
Well, you've hit on it. I mean, that's a beautiful spiritual practice you have, and you mentioned sun gaze, and we do this. We've met with disciples of a master who I consider a total master, Omram Mikhail Ivanov, and he and his guru, Peter Dinov, in Yugoslavia, or in Bulgaria, taught solar gazing. And then I was privileged to meet a gentleman from India who came to our conference last July in Bozeman, Montana, who taught us about sun gazing, and he has mastered this to such an art. His name is Hiram, or they refer to him as HRM. He's mastered this to an extent that he can actually go without eating food. And that mastery comes after gradually increasing solar gazing in the morning for only 1 hour when the sun rises. You start out with 10 seconds. You can look directly at the sun without any ill effects on your eyes, but only 10 seconds. And then what you do is you gradually, day after day, add 5 to 10 seconds of time. And eventually he was able to gaze directly at the sun for 45 minutes straight without any ill effects. What it does, because it energizes you, because you're actually feeding right from the sun, getting, you know, these streams of cosmic rays, that really all life on this earth ultimately comes from the sun. All the plants need the sun to develop and grow, and without the sun we wouldn't have life. So we're kind of going directly to the source for a little bit more of our energy, and what happens is you desire less food, you desire less heavy foods, you can nurture yourself, maybe hopefully with a vegetarian diet if you so choose, with, you know, lighter foods, maybe raw foods, maybe fresher organic foods that hopefully are, you know, grown in your area. All these things can help you get better consciousness. And then eventually he was able to sustain himself and proven scientifically through people that monitored him in a closed experimental thing for, you know, virtually, I think it was over 9 months.
So he wasn't going off to McDonald's?
No.
Okay.
But he still drank teas and, you know, water, but I think we have to pretty much have water in our diet to survive. I mean, we're, what, 80% water, 70 or 80% water. But in any case, it's amazing what can be done when you reconnect with your source. And the sun really is for the source for this solar system, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I honor you for, you know, participating in solar gazing. And I think that as we come into the new age of Aquarius, this science will become preeminent, and people will begin to understand that we need to get back to basics, and we need to rely less on fossil fuels and substances from coal deep within the earth, and return to the natural sources of energy, including the sun, the wind, and, you know, water, geothermal, you know, maybe not even geothermal that much, but I think that we're going to become a solar civilization and have a golden crystal age of enlightenment when people wake up and they really return to the basics of living a life of conscious awareness.
Sure. Well, that is something that I seek, and I think most people want, they may not use those same words, but I think you could ask practically anyone, would you like to feel more love in your life? Would you like to be around people where there's more love shared? You'd probably get an almost unanimous yes to that.
Yeah, we have quarterly conferences, and we have a big conference coming up in July in Bozeman, expect, you know, anywhere from 250 to 500 people in Big Sky. It's a 8-day event. We're going to be focusing on the light of the divine, talking about the Divine Mother, and in relation to, you know, getting back to the earth, and also working on preparedness of our consciousness, you know, learning to have sustainable, intentional communities, which heart centers are really becoming throughout the United States and the world. And there are many, many beautiful communities by, you know, of all different religious and persuasions or no religion, simply people that want to live together and share resources. And I think that communities and being together and doing things together is going to be key in the coming days, because I think we have challenges ahead. And, you know, we've seen gas prices rise. We see the price of food going up tremendously. We see, you know, even, I mean, I've seen on the news just a couple days ago that they're rationing rice through some of these big mega chain stores, Walmart or whatever, and
mm-hmm.
other places. And, you know, people, there shouldn't be fear about it, because if you're prepared and you work on things, there shouldn't be any fear. It's not about doomsday consciousness, but it's about preparation and preparedness and intentional awareness. So,
now, is there a place on your site where it talks about people could see where there may be intentional communities, resources near them?
Yeah, I think in the About Us section, if you click on that, it should have a link to you know, some of the other communities that we have forming in the United States and Canada and South America and Europe, as was mentioned at the beginning of the show. And, you know, some of them are just sprouting and just beginning. But, you know, there are many beautiful communities out there. And I think that every intentional community, by whatever faith, where they're working toward a holy purpose, is, in a sense, a heart center. And when people do come together and they focus on God and they, you know, they are working toward this common thing. But yeah, in terms of our, I won't even say our belief system, because I think that we get beyond certain dogmas and doctrines. We don't even have, right now, formal membership, per se, in the Heart Center. There's no dues. It's simply we offer the material free on the website. We do have to charge for some of the events that we have, just to pay for the hall and the rental of chairs and, you know, those types of things, which, you know, people need to understand. But we try to offer the teaching free. And so that's what we have on our website. I think that's really the new Aquarian way, is that you offer to the world what you can free, as much as you can free, and then people, you know, can take it if they like, and if it works for them, if it resonates with their hearts, they can follow it. And if it doesn't, they can move on. But, you know, we have a lot that's free on our website, and we invite people to check it out and to donate to support the website if they'd like. We're not, you know, a 501c3 nonprofit, so your donations are tax deductible.
Yeah, well, this is excellent. I was just looking under the library, and I noticed that one of the things on your website, the THEHEARTSCENTER, theheartcenter.org, that under library, there's a thing about emergency preparedness. And, you know, we'd begin to briefly, at the beginning, talk about that, okay, there could be some heavy-duty stuff come up, and there's some also, through our consciousness, some mitigating factors that can come into play. And I was just kind of wondering if there's a place where you, on your website, share a little bit of what's coming to you about, you know, some of the trends that we're looking at, as well as some of the ways to be prepared at not just the spiritual level, but at the physical level.
Yeah, and that preparedness link, there's a whole series of recommended steps to take to prepare, like a 3-week plan, and then a 3-month plan. Now we're talking about a 3-year plan, and actually having enough food stored, you know, dried, sealed in nitrogen and grains, etc., for 3 years. Because, you know, we've heard about the bee crisis with bees you know, dying off, and they pollinate a lot of the plants that are, you know, are the food that we eat. And can you imagine if 2/3 of the bee population are dying, what the effect is going to be on us, the potential there? And we're seeing, you know, the problem with GMOs and, you know, the big multinational corporations that want to control the distribution of seeds to farmers. And, you know, what is this going to mean for us in the future? You know, it may be smart for people to have greenhouses and to attempt to grow their own food and to live in these communities and share resources. So we have a lot of food for thought in that area. And there was a message that came through me from the Blessed Mother Mary not too long ago, and she talked about the 5 things you need to do before 2012. Now, this is not to create fear, and much of it was spiritual, but she said the first thing is to reconnect with your God presence or your God source. And one of the second things was to befriend the Ascended Masters, because they are our elder brothers and sisters who have passed their initiations, and we can learn from them. We don't have to relearn everything totally on our own. We have wayshowers. We have professors of the Spirit who are very astute and have, you know, and know exactly what's coming, because in their dimension there is no time and space. They can see the future, and they do give us warnings. And there are other steps. I think the 5th one was to basically move into preparedness, where you, not through fear, but through, you know, a conscious effort, have water, have clothes and supplies to be able to survive for eventually 3 years. And, you know, this is not a bunker mentality where you're going to have guns and ward people off by firing weapons at them if they come and do things, but it's simply common sense. I mean, people go through situations where the power is out, and they may not, I mean, this has happened all over the United States. The power is out. I went to a conference in Seattle, and I arrived, and the power was out throughout Seattle last year. And one guy with a generator across the street from where I was, his lights were on in his home. Everybody else was dark. So, you know, if you have the resources to do it, consider being off the grid. Consider being smart about things and having, you know, extra gas or supplies in your garage or in your basement. You know, seal them in airtight containers and have plans and place for eventualities and role play, or, you know, prepare, you know, and talk to your family members, talk to your community members, your neighbors about, okay, if something like this happened, what, you know, what can we do? Can we pool our resources? Can we, you know, if you guys have extra water and I have extra food, let's share. I mean, this is what, when Katrina and other things happen, I mean, we have to work together. And sometimes the best and the best part of us comes out when we go through these disasters. And that's where the true heroes come forth, who give because they are heart-centered and they care about others. And we're going to need a lot of this, I believe, in coming days.
Ah, okay. So in a way, I'm kind of thinking, I've heard a phrase that people have talked about when they had something, there was a tough time in their life, and they said, well, it was the best, worst thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah, because it moves you into new possibilities and a new paradigm and a shift in consciousness, and you realize what's ultimately important, which is love, giving others, serving others, and why do we come to this earth in the first place? I think many of us who are awakening have realized that we came to serve, we came to give, we came to love, and to be the example, like Jesus and other masters, of the Christ consciousness to raise people into higher awareness. And, you know, when we can give like a Mother Teresa, we can serve like a Gandhi and fast and change an entire culture because of it. Those are the true heroines of the Spirit that we need to have more of as the leaders of this and other nations, instead of those who want to grab power and, you know, are really motivated out of ego and selfishness rather than from a desire to serve and to unite people and to bring about this culture that we all really want, which is one of peace, one of, you know, working with the resources of nature instead of stripping all the resources out of the earth and then, and you know, to the detriment of future generations, and bankrupting our economy through war, etc. So let's work together toward, by intention, toward a new wave and an era of freedom, enlightenment, peace, brotherhood among all peoples, all nations, by intention, because we care, and together we can do it.
Mm. See, to me, that's, there's a thing of beauty. It kind of, I, at these moments, I like to use the word hearken. It's kind of an old-fashioned word. Harkens back to the time, pioneer days, where people were very much interdependent and did take turns helping each other out, and it wasn't a, like an issue of should we or shouldn't we. It was like, well, of course we will. And I don't know if that opportunity is going to reopen itself to us if we're experiencing some of these times of whatever, food shortages, different types of things coming up that actually gives us an incentive to go back to that place of connecting and caring for each other.
Yeah, I carry in my vehicle, you know, a fire extinguisher, a first aid kit. I have extra water. I have some food. I have jumper cables. In Montana, you've got a blanket, a shovel. I mean, you can be caught in a snowstorm at just virtually any time, almost without notice. And you know, so if you have the readiness and you're like the scouts, if you're prepared, be prepared. If you can help others, it's fantastic. And then, you know, I think by the law of karma, the law, you know, as you sow, so shall you reap, it comes back. And the love and the service that you give others is returned. And then when you're in distress sometime, you know, you have a blowout in your tire, someone may come by and help you. And so I think there are very practical measures that we can all take, just even without worrying too much about a future cataclysm or, you know, earthquakes or whatever, just to be safe and to be able to help others. And we recommend everyone, you know, be certified in first aid and CPR. And I've taken advanced first aid classes and you know, almost getting to the EMT level. And, you know, I think these are all important for us to be prepared. And, of course, you know, we can work with the Red Cross. And I'm concerned a little bit with some of the plans that I've heard, you know, that FEMA has, that, you know, through what some would term conspiracy theories. But, you know, we have to be very conscious and aware and you know, let justice be served through our hearts for others and for all mankind. And don't let people manipulate us. Don't let them steal our freedoms. You know, we're concerned about the freedoms in this nation and how some are being eroded. But regardless of that, you know, be conscious, be alert, be awake, read what's, you know, between the lines of what's going on. Search through alternative sources of news. We recommend people, you know, potentially have, well, you know, wind up radios, wind up flashlights, extra batteries. I mean, these are all prudent to have, just in case the power goes out or the grid goes down. So it's not, like I said before, it's not based on fear or that there's calamity absolutely coming, but it's simply a matter of preparedness and intention.
Okay, so I'm hearing as we get ready to wrap up, it's kind of like a two-prong approach. One is, of course, you may have probably used the power of the 91st Psalm, which is to me one of my favorite psalms of protection, of grace that we can call upon, and I know on your website there would be others, and so to step into that place spiritually, where There was a fire on a mountain outside of Boulder. The whole mountainside was burned down, and yet there was a house in the middle of the mountainside that was not touched. And it was just an amazing, amazing thing to see. So we can spiritually find a way, I believe, to the path of living in the eye of the hurricane, so to speak.
Absolutely. There were people in Japan, even in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, who survived. There were Catholic priests who prayed the rosary. And because the aura of protection from those prayers, I believe, saved them.
Yeah.
And though 10,000 fall on my right hand and 1,000 on my left, I will not be smitten or hurt because you're with me. So however that works for people, however they meditate or pray, to whatever name they call to God, keep doing it and focus on love and your connection with your source. And no matter what happens in the coming days and years, I believe you will be safe and secure in the heart of God.
Ah, David, thank you so much. I'm blessed, and I know our listeners are blessed from your time with us today. I wish we could chat much longer, and we're going to have to move on, but move on with joy in our hearts, for you've given us hope and a resource at your wonderful Heart Center website there. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you, Ken. I appreciate you very much.
Well, you're welcome, and you have a wonderful week, beloved listeners. To you, another beloved, wonderful week. Tune in next week. We'll have some fun with crystal bowls and healing with those. In the meantime, God bless to all of you, and let there be peace filling your hearts and your lives. Until we meet again, thank you, and goodbye for now.
Let go and let God, let myself lose in